I love being a part of that, being a part of ministering to families in the name of the Lord. I believe in it. I believe that as we give our children to the Lord, it's an event, a decision that we make that will make a difference ultimately for them. We do our best to raise our children. We entrust them to God, and God will do awesome things no matter what. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and is there somebody reading scriptures? Okay, if not, I can read it. Would you stand with me? Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared a son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Let me ask you to join me in prayer as we look to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have it. Thank you that we can open it and we can read it. And as you call it, Holy Scriptures, we know that this has been anointed by you. They are your words. So speak to our hearts from it, if you will, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we introduced Romans, and it is all about the gospel. I hope you have been gone to and read it, maybe read it a few times even. And we're going to be doing this for a while. But as we move on into the book of Romans, I want you to understand the person who wrote it. It is the Almighty God, but through the Apostle Paul. And there's a reason God used him. There's a reason for everything that God does. But it is important to understand who Paul was. Now, some of you will remember or know, because you went through Sunday school, that the Apostle Paul was not always the Apostle Paul. He began his life as Saul, and he was a dedicated guy. He was a person that was so determined to be the best at everything he did, and he was. He accomplished much. We're told that he didn't look like much, but as far as physical appearance, but everything else, he was amazing. He rose in whatever he was doing. He became a Pharisee of Pharisees, they would call him, right? And he became mighty and powerful and famous. But he didn't know God, and so when he encountered something, the Pharisees encountered this thing called Jesus Christ, this person, and this group called the Way. They were concerned, and he was going to destroy it because he felt that this group, this thing that was happening was going to ruin everything, or at least damage everything that he believed in. He was a passionate guy. He was a real believer in things. And so he went about it. He went to the place where he literally was a part of murdering and killing people who was against his religion or his belief. And you remember the day that he was sitting there holding the clothes of the men that were throwing rocks and stones and killing Stephen. You remember that. There were other things. He was the most feared person by the Christian community. So that was Paul. That was Saul, actually. And then one faithful trip, he went to Damascus, he went to Syria. He figured, he heard that there were other Christians there as well that were, you know, acting out there in Syria. So he said, I'm going to go get them too. So on his trip there, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, different kind of encounters than probably most of us had. But he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and Jesus encountered him, spoke to him. And in that encounter, this man was changed. How much changed? Well, if you study his life, if you study the book of Acts and his 13 epistles, the letters that he wrote, you will understand it. But today we want to just talk about at least a few things from the beginning of Romans. I'm going to focus a lot on the first verse of Romans 1, but I will finish it up with the rest of it to verse 7. It says here, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that this is the Apostle Paul writing himself, or speaking to someone else who wrote it for him, himself. He described himself as a bondservant. Now, you might not know what that means. Sometimes we just read these things and we just go on. But it's important for us to understand these words. Every single word that God puts in his word is important for us to understand. So this word bondservant in the Greek, which is a much better translation, and it's hard to discover here in English, so you do the best you can. The word is doulos. Doulos. Doulos is the word equivalent to the word slave, or certainly some kind of slavery servant. Now, that's not the only word that is used about the Apostle Paul when he calls himself a servant or a slave. You remember when we study 1 Corinthians, you remember there was a phrase that he described himself as too. He called himself an hupaete. You remember that, right? That was an under rower. If you don't know what that is, in the old days, the Roman ships would have three levels of rolling. When the sail was not working, they had slaves rolling to get somewhere. And there are three levels, the higher, the lower, and the lowest level were the hupaetes, the under-rowing servants or slaves. They were the worst. That's the worst job in the world. You don't want to be three levels under in a slave ship, okay? That's not what you want to be. He described himself as that. But in this particular place, he described himself, and this is important, as a bondservant or a doulos. Now, what does that mean? There were millions of slaves in the Roman Empire. They understood what slavery was. But this was a little different, especially in the Hebrew context, especially amongst Jewish folks. And you know what? If you want to know what that means, it literally means slaves, but a different kind of slaves. And I want to take you to a passage. I'm going to read this for you in case you never read it before. I bought a paper Bible, which doesn't exist anymore these days. But you can follow along. Let me just read this passage to you so you can understand what a doulos was. In Exodus chapter 21, it describes servitude in the Jewish community, right? The Almighty God wrote this and said it to the Jewish people. In verse 21, chapter 21, verse 2, it says, "If you buy a Hebrew servant," back in those days you can do that, "he is to serve you for 6 years, but in the seventh year he shall go free." That's how God wanted. You can never keep something for long without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife, when he comes, she's to go with him. It goes on, okay? Verse 5. Now, they're supposed to go free after 6 years, the seventh year to go free. Verse 5. "But if the servant declares, 'I love my master and my wife and my children and do not want to go free.'" Now, you can say, what in the world? No slave's going to do that, right? Well, some actually did, right? "If he says, 'I do not want to go free,' then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door of the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl." So this is what you do. "I don't want to be free. I want to serve you forever." So the master takes him to the doorpost, put a little awl like you do with an earring, and pierce it right there on the door. "Then he will be his servant for life." Got that? That's what the bondservant is. That's what Paul is talking about. You know what? I want to be God's servant for life. Of my own free will. You know, a lot of people today who may think they're Christians, may be real Christians, I don't know, whatever. The last thing they want to do is a servant of anybody, including God. I'm going to live out my life. I'm going to serve myself. You know, in fact, the Christian faith, the gospel message, actually gives me freedom. Freedom from having to serve anybody. In a Chinese banquet, I did something, and some of you already know it, the dog and cat theology, you know. Most Christians today want to be the cat. You know what the cat is. I said it before. I'll say it again. It's kind of like, you feed me, you take care of me, you answer to me, whatever, you must be God. That's what a dog says. A cat says, no, I must be God. But the Apostle Paul said, no, bondservant. I am a bondservant. Who is he? Who is Paul? He's declared himself to be a bondservant, someone that is a slave to the Almighty God, someone that by choice made that. What about you? Most of you here, I know, are believers. I hope all of you are believers. I hope you have given your life to Jesus Christ. I hope you have stood sometime, you know, before the Almighty God and said, you know what? I'm a sinner. I need you. You ask Jesus to come into your life. But what do you think of yourself now? Are you a slave of the Almighty God? Are you a bond servant of the Almighty God? Do you live your life for one purpose, and that is serve Jesus Christ our Lord? Is that who you think you are? Do you declare yourself as that? I want to tell you, Paul did, and he lived it out. So who was Paul? He was a bond servant, a servant of Christ. Now, in one way, you know, Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings. To be a servant of the Lord and Lord and King of kings is pretty awesome, right? Absolutely. You should think that way. In another sense, to be a slave, a servant of anybody is very humiliating, right? Or humbling, at least. We should think that too. Who are we? There's nothing in our lives that's worth anything at all. But that is by the grace of God. We're bond servants. The second thing we want to look at is, what is this calling? It's interesting here in this verse. What is this calling? He says it and states it clearly. No ambivalence here. He tells you what it is. He said, I was called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The word apostle, and there's some controversies going on these days, and I want you to understand some of it, and I'll talk about it in a moment. But the word apostle is apostolos. The Greek word. It literally means someone that was sent out. That's what it means. It means someone that's dispatched. Like, if I send somebody, go tell somebody this, you know, in California, I'll send you out. You're an apostle, in a sense. That's what it is. That's what it means. But it is an apostle, is someone that's sent out by God. It is God who sent him out. So Paul knew who he was. He was sent out by the Almighty God. They say, well, isn't there a little bit more about an apostle? Yeah, it is. There is. We talk about it, and we're going to discuss, study a little bit more in Sunday school and different things like that later on in the year. We talk about spiritual gifts. There's a spiritual gift of apostleship. So what does that mean here? It is really important for us to understand there is a differentiation between the first original apostles and those that come after, those that are gifted in apostleship. Because today, there's something going on, and if you hear it, I hope you understand and study scriptures to know the deception that's going on out there, and it's a big thing. Right now, there's all these things, there's new apostles out there. It's even said that some of these apostles are even greater than Paul and Peter. And some of these apostles may not even die, they have immortality. This is out there in the evangelical Christian community. So we have to be very careful how we understand apostles. If someone tells you there's an apostle in New Orleans, I want to tell you, he's not a real one. Someone tells you there's an apostle in Singapore, I want to tell you, he's not a real one. He's a fake one. If there's an apostle in Brazil, he's not real. The gift of apostleship is given. And some people have. And some people in this church probably have. These are people that do amazing things out there as far as church planting, sharing the gospel, and so forth, along with other gifts like a prophet and evangelist, and so on and so forth. But the original apostles were 12 plus Paul, 13 of them. There were the original 12, of course, minus Judas. Thais replaced him, and then the apostle Paul. These apostles are called by Jesus. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus. They wrote the New Testament by the Holy Spirit. They did mighty signs and wonders. There are those kinds. These apostles. The apostle Andrew, in fact, if you go to Eastern Europe, you'll find that he was considered the apostle to the Ukrainians, to Russians, and on and on and on. You know, they've traveled all over the place, planted churches. They are different than anybody else. The apostle Paul called himself an apostle, and he was set apart for the gospel. That word set apart is really important, separated or set apart for the gospel. That word is the word aphorismensis, hard to say, Greek word. It literally means cut ties. That's what it means. He says, I have been set apart. My ties to this world have been cut. Aphorismensis. I have cut everything in my life. I am no longer a part of this world as far as what the world wants. I have cut ties. God has cut them. And he has set me apart for the gospel and for the gospel alone. Now, you have to understand, it's not everybody is an apostle, but everybody has been called. And so I want to ask you, what is your calling? What has God called you? Now, Barbara and I, we know our calling. We've been doing it for 39 years. I know my calling. I know my calling as a pastor. Been offered all kinds of other things. Don't want them. It's not my calling. And we've cut our ties. We cut our ties to the world in so many ways. There's all kinds of stuff we could get into. How many offers have I had? You know, Pastor, if you do this, you know, you get another stream of income, you know. How about you do this, you know, on and on and on, constantly in these years. But we cut our ties. We made a determination. This is what God has called us. We do that. What is your calling that God has given? I want you to understand that every single person has a calling. Maybe not to be an apostle, but God has called you to something. Something awesome, something great. You know those five children we just dedicated? God is calling for them. And the last thing I want is anything else to happen to them than that calling that God has given to them. And sometimes in our society, sometimes in our culture, we have certain callings all the time. Most of you here are Asians. You know what Asian callings are. You know that. You do not do an Asian F, okay? An A minus is an Asian F. You do that, you're gone. You know that. You got to be great in school. Not only that, you got to have certain kind of jobs. I remember my parents told me, you know, Chinese says this, anybody that makes a living with a gun is a bad thing. So don't go in the military. Don't be a policeman. Don't do that. Chinese don't do those things. Let someone else do it. Also, we just have a certain way of it. Our culture tells us we need to do this or that. Typical Americans, you know, the American dream. It's like our calling. I remember this one young man, I'm standing on a podium in the Bible college that we went to. He says, my goal is to be a millionaire. Really, that's the calling. God has a calling for each one of us that is so much better than anything this world can ever afford. It has nothing to do with money, which is fleeting. It has nothing to do with even your health, which is fleeting. It has everything to do with fulfilling the calling that God has designed for you when he thought about you long before you were even, you know, thought about. He's designed you and your DNA and everything about you with a particular calling. That's what he wants you to be. That's what he wants you to become. And our decision for that is when we give our lives to Jesus Christ and he comes to us and he tells us this calling, he says, you know, I have something better for you. We just embrace it, grasp it, keep it, hang on to it, and then we cut ties with everything else. That's what we do. You say, wow, that's pretty serious. Well, the Christian faith is very serious. The Christian life is very serious. It's 100% or nothing at all. We can't be halfway. If God has come to you and you sense his presence and he's speaking to you about different things in your life, and not only that, you're really hating your life anyway. I really hate getting up and going to work. That does not mean you just quit your job. This doesn't mean that you're not responsible. Yes, you are. But you ask God to bring you to a place in which he has designed you. You ask God to bring you to a work, an activity that God has designed you. And I'm a believer, Barbara Yesu, that if you ask God and seek him, he will show you. He will tell you. The Apostle Paul knew his calling and knew that he was set apart for the gospel. He knew what he was going to do. Interesting. Some people say, hey, when exactly did Paul change his name? Remember, his name was Saul. And did God change his name? Because God changed the name of Abram, right? Became Abraham. You remember other names that he changed in the Bible? Well, I want to tell you, God didn't change Saul's name. Because when Jesus called Saul, what did he say? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In fact, Saul kept his name all the way to Acts chapter 13 when he was one of the leaders of the Antioch church, and the church prayer and the Spirit of God spoke to him and says, set apart for me. You remember? Saul and Barnabas. And that's when he began the first missionary journey. And at that time is the first time they began calling him Paul. You say, well, why did he do that? Well, there's a couple of reasons that people say. First, it's not unusual for them to have two names because Saul is a Hebrew name and Paul is a Roman name. All right? But Paul, one of the things about Paul is this. He knew that God has called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He knew that God has called him to be witnessing and sharing the good news and church planting all throughout the Roman Empire. Remember later on, the verse says, I'm there for the Jews and about barbarians. And so he made a choice to be called Paul. See, everything about Paul was about serving the Lord. Another thing that's interesting here is too, the word Saul in the Hebrew community is a little bit regal, you know, a little royal, because King Saul. When you call your son Saul, you're thinking big things, even though Saul ended badly, but still, nevertheless, it was King Saul. The Roman name Paul was different. Literally, the word Paul means little. You don't really want to call your son little. You get made fun of all day long in the playground. But you see, Paul, something, he took that name because, you know what? He was a humble man. He said, I am nothing. And God's going to make this little man into something he can use. That's Paul. He knew his calling. Now, the last thing we want to talk about is the gospel. Now, you know the gospel. We talked about it last week a little bit. But what is this message? This is important. If you don't know what the gospel is, right here, these verses will tell you all about it. It is all about it. You can go here succinctly. The Almighty God has told us what it is. It is good news. You know what? Who needs good news? Well, you know, sometimes we're just happy as can be. No, all news are good news, right? But sometimes it's not. Well, our world is full of bad news. This is the gospel. Gospel is the good news for people like us. It summarizes here, and this is what I want to summarize it very quickly in case you're not sure what the gospel is. If you're going to go on and share the gospel with people, you want to tell them these things. First of all, the gospel, this good news, has been promised by God. It is nothing whimsical. It happened long ago. You go back in the Old Testament, it has been promised. And it's interesting what he says in verse 2. He promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He doesn't just say in the Scriptures. He says in the Holy Scriptures. In a day and age where in our society today, the gospel, the Bible, the Word of God, is seen as nothing more than just a suggestion to this world, I want you guys in CBC to understand that the Word of God is holy. Every word of it is holy. This is the Holy Scriptures. If you need anything, it's here. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The Apostle Paul writes it as the Holy Scriptures. We don't want to focus on the Word of God because it tells us things that we don't want to hear. But it is still there, it is still true, whether our society, whether it's the Supreme Court, whether our politician says otherwise, it is the Holy Scriptures. We got to stay with it, stand upon it. It's really important. If we don't, we have lost it. And so, Paul says, this gospel, this is not a new thing. It was promised ahead of time in the Holy Scriptures. So this is something that has been promised. Very important for us to understand that. So the Jewish people knew it. Not only that, it goes on and begins to describes the gospel, and it's really important for us to understand. He says concerning his son, this is Jesus in verse 3, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. This is important because only God can do the work of salvation, but he does it as a man. So Jesus became a man. You see where we're going? Tell me about the gospel. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God's son became a man so he can take what? My sins away. He can die in my place because nobody else can die in my place. You can't die in my place because you have sins yourself. But God, he became a man, the son of God, Jesus. He was born of a descendant. And then not only that, he was declared as the son of God by the resurrection. He was also God. So it was man and God together. He died on the cross of Calvary, and he rose in 3 days. And this is all here, succinctly, what the message is. And so if we receive him as the Lord and Savior, he will give us his grace. He will give us salvation. Not real complicated. Don't go telling people, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your life will be changed. You're going to be rich and healthy and wealthy and all that stuff. Don't go telling those things. That's not what it says. It says here that we have sinned, and we'll talk about more sins later in the weeks to come. But that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is both man and God, he came and died on the cross of Calvary, and he was resurrected. And verse 7 says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, that's what you are when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from our God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul. This is his calling. This is his message. I wanted you to hear that because I believe the same can be said of us. Who are you? Determine who you are. Are you Dan Ho, independent, living for yourself? Are you a bondservant of Jesus Christ? I am a slave to the Lord who loves me so. What is your calling? What has God called you? Tomorrow, what are you going to be doing that fulfills the calling that God has given to you? Is it just to go out there and work and make a living? No, God has so much more for you. Discover it before it's too late. And then remember the message. Don't twist it. Don't change it. People need to hear the message of salvation. And when they do, they will give their life to Jesus Christ and they will be saved. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity we have to read your word. Oh, there are men and women all over the world just craving to know what you're saying. Bibles that are banned, that can't get to their hands. But oh, Lord God, we have it right here. Lord God, I want to pray and ask that you will help us to make a determination of who we are. I ask that you will make every single person here allow them to make the decision that they are doulos of Jesus Christ, bond servants, core for a ministry that is very special for them. Would you help us to cut our ties? Just literally take that scissor of life and cut them. And Lord God, would you help us never to deviate from your gospel? Thank you so much. In your name we